Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, holds a Master of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. He's a Crown Ministries budgeting coach as well, and is a business and church consultant. We would love to hear from you. You can visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com, or you can simply call 1-800-386-3700. Tom, it's good to see you again. Wrapping up a 12-part series. I'm feeling good again.
Good. Well, you looked fine last week, but you look even finer.
Well, thank you. Went out of the country, got really sick on that 21-hour flight back.
Oh, yeah, wow.
But I'm feeling better. The jet lag is gone.
Good.
And I'm ready to look at, the finale, the grand finale.
Today's the grand finale, week 12 of the 12-part series on Anchor 4,
mm-hmm.
Contentment. And let's remind everyone, Reba, what are the four anchors of God's economy? Let's do that, and let's talk a little bit about that, and just a little bit about the recipe. Then we'll get into the scriptures.
All right, the anchors, and this is the foundational to knowing God's economy. One, God is the owner of everything. The second anchor is that we're stewards. The third anchor is that we should be cheerful givers. Mm-hmm. And the fourth anchor, which is the series we're wrapping up now, is that we need to have contentment.
Exactly.
In our finances.
Contentment is so critical.
And I love those anchors, because if you know the first two and do the third one, you'll have the fourth one.
That's right. And an anchor is, because we use the anchor philosophy or principle, Reba, because an anchor holds things down. And God's word holds us down.
Oh, that's good.
If we adhere to his four principles. So why don't we do this, Reba? Give us 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And that's what we start off with every week.
All right. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, for training, for correcting and rebuking in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Beautifully put. Now, let's do this too, Reba. On the top of page 178 in our book, mm-hmm. Knowing the Economy of God, okay, the top of 178, let's go ahead and read Philippians. So why don't you give us that, and then we'll move over to 181.
All right, here we go. Philippians 4:11-13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
Amen. Beautiful. And, you know, we added another verse, Reba, as you know, to our weekly beginning verse of the show. The verses as we begin the show, Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Hmm.
So that's another great verse to add to contentment,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah 26:3. And that plus the 2 Timothy verses that you spoke of,
mm-hmm.
plus what you just recited that Paul spoke of to the Philippians, is a powerful, powerful message to us Christians. And we haven't even gotten off to the start of the show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's three huge passages mm-hmm. of Scripture, Reba. And to me, those are powerful. So let's move now to 181.
Okay.
So, Reba, would you do us the pleasure, please, in the book, I will be content in my relationship with Christ, even if. So we're going to take the quiz, everybody.
Okay.
Okay, but drive careful if you're listening and you're on the freeway, okay?
So no, Reba, no checking boxes and driving at the same time.
Well, actually, I do that. No, just don't do it. No.
Mental checks. Okay.
Here's the quiz.
Here we go. I will be content in my relationship with Christ, even if I'm diagnosed with terminal illness. That's a tough one. That's tough right out of the bat.
Yep.
Number two, my spouse or child becomes ill. Number three, my spouse or child suddenly dies. Number four, I get laid off. Five, my spouse leaves and files for divorce. Six, my boyfriend, girlfriend breaks up with me. Seven, my investment portfolio crashes.
Hmm.
Eight, my company relocates me to a lonely location.
Yep.
Number nine, my children disown me. 10, my friends cut all ties. 11, I can't get a raise or a job. Number 12, I never get married. 13, my friends' enemies slander me. Or 14, I lose my home.
Right. I will be content in my relationship with Jesus Christ, even if. And you go through that list on page 181 of the book.
Wow.
And have a little time with mm-hmm. God and say, Lord, I cannot do this without your power and your strength. There's no way.
It's one of those things where you draw the line, hopefully before the situation happens.
Right.
So you know how you're going to respond.
Right.
Before it happens.
Right.
Because a lot of times, I mean, if one of these 14 things happens to you, you know, you might not be in your right thinking to be drawing lines at that moment.
That's why we've talked about, for the first 11 shows, Reba, it's a learned thing. Paul said he learned to be content. It just doesn't happen magically, like a poof of magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning thing. It's a relationship. It's work. We're all works in progress. That's why Job had to go through so many things, and he was working through all these issues. He was like a wet rag being wrung out by the Spirit of God. But at the end, he gave in and said, though I am slain, I will trust in thee. So that's what we need to be getting to the point in our relationship with God. It's a maturing process. Now, Reba, this particular program, number 12, is based on number 7 on this list. Read number 7 again. I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, my investment portfolio crashes.
Right.
Okay.
Reba, in 1987, Black Monday happened. It was the stock market crash in the United States. October 19th, 1987.
Is that when people jumped out of the windows?
That's when, well, they did in 29 in the crash,
oh, okay.
The Great Depression.
Okay.
Although it's funny.
I'm about 30 years off on that one.
Well, that's okay because you were little at the time, but that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This October 19th.
Wow.
And October 19th was called and labeled Black Monday.
Hmm.
The U.S. stock market lost approximately 38% of its value in one day. And people were just panicking.
Hmm.
So please read number 7 one more time. I will be content in my relationship with Christ, even if
my investment portfolio crashes.
Right. And since we're doing a program on God's economy, one of the most important critical things to a person is their money. And when their money crashes, so does their feelings, their emotions, their security. I mean, I was around at that time. I was already in business. Let's see. I was in business 9 years at the time.
Mm.
And I saw people I worked with, clients just flipping out. Like, what will we do in the future?
Mm-hmm.
What will we do?
Mm-hmm.
The crash of Black Monday.
Mm.
It wasn't a complete crash, Reba, like in 29, but it was a terrible, you know, stock market pull down.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotions that people couldn't sleep.
Well, and I think it probably makes it worse. Did it peak and then crash?
It did.
So people were riding the tide of the upswing.
Right.
So they were higher than normal.
Exactly.
And then dropped down low.
Exactly. And so did their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I'm trying to say in this program about number 7 on page 181 is as people's money goes, so often their feelings go.
Mm-hmm.
So often their emotions go.
Mm-hmm.
And what keeps them deep in their heart, secure.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what it really did, Black Monday for the Christian, was bring out what do you trust in?
Well, you know, and also it makes me think, in thinking about that cycle peaking, if you're gaining more and more money, which is what most people hope to do in their finances.
Right.
If you realize anchor number 1, it's God's. Anchor number 2, you're a steward.
Right.
Anchor number 3, you should be giving it.
Right.
Then you're not going to peak as high as your money peaks.
Right.
You could get, you know, you could acquire millions and millions. You could, you know, your percentage could triple and go up 600%. But your emotions aren't going to be carried up with your money. It's going to keep you more even keeled, realizing that it's all God's. God had it before you had it.
Exactly. If you're grounded, and we're coming up to a break, and after the break, we'll talk more about being grounded, because Reva, so many people are not grounded in these anchors.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, the anchor. What does an anchor do? It holds down something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It holds down something.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't let you fly away
with
the emotion of society and what everybody else is caught up in.
Uh-huh.
So the point I'm making is on Black Monday in 87, there was a major crash. Now, the stock market has come back incredibly since then. But I'm talking about what happened that day and shortly thereafter where people were so blown away because they were worried mm-hmm. that everything they put their heart into.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus spoke about, you cannot serve both God and money. You will be the master of one and the slave to the other. And so many people were definitely flushed out in their motives, mm-hmm. being a slave to wealth and money.
And can you be content even if your investment portfolio crashes? This is the grand finale to a 12-part series on contentment. We're going to continue this, find out what happened after Black Monday, how you can keep that from happening in your own life. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God, with our host Tom Meglia. We're concluding a 12-part series on contentment and our finances. We're just talking about a day that many people look back on with a lot of pain. The market did recover, as well as probably most of the people that went through it. But at the time, I'm sure they thought that things would never be the same again. The question, can you be content in your relationship with Christ even if your investment portfolio crashes?
Right. And Reba, let's do this now. Let's go and say, what happens if the market continually went down until it evaporated? Let's just say at the end of 87 through 1988, let's just say, and it no longer existed. Can you be content in your relationship with Jesus Christ, even if number 7 happened on the list of our book, page 181?
Your portfolio crashes. A lot of people are just seeing that with the real estate market softening. A lot of people have investment properties that they were hoping to flip, or you know, a lot of people got into the real estate market completely, left their old jobs and thought, you know, well, this is the way to go. A ton of people got into the loan business and real estate realtors.
Right.
And now, right. How are they going to be content in their relationship with Christ,
right,
when they start to see a slow softening?
Well, and Reba, that's why all of these things are lessons. All of these things are teaching tools that God is using to tell all of us, including me, you, our relatives and friends, hey, what would happen if?
Mm-hmm.
this good thing didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
would you still trust me for your sustenance like Naomi and Ruth did in the book of Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
Would you still trust me to provide for you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you still trust me like Job did even after everything was wiped out?
Mm-hmm.
Would you still trust me?
And I, like you said, I think it's about making that learned decision beforehand.
Before.
To trust God. So a lot of people are listening right now and things are going great and their portfolio is increasing and their investments are doing really well and they're making money and their business is going well and they feel like God's really blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is to find balance and find your anchor now.
Exactly. Because Reba, like Paul said in Philippians, we did this show 3 shows ago. I am content whether well-fed or in want,
mm-hmm.
whether in plenty
mm-hmm.
or, you know, hurting and wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked 3 shows ago about why do you have to learn contentment in plenty? Because
yep.
you don't want to get caught if that's taken away
mm-hmm.
with just tears and suicide thoughts and
mm-hmm.
my whole world just crumbled because my money's gone.
Mm.
And see, that's why God is saying to all of us, you put your heart in your money. You violate Exodus 20, verse 3, the first commandment. Thou shall have no other gods before me.
Mm.
I am your Lord and God. No false gods. And whenever we do what I'm talking about and what you're talking about, and
mm-hmm.
your point about knowing this in advance
mm-hmm.
is very wise, Reba, because that saves the person the trouble when the bad event eventually does happen,
mm-hmm.
let's say. And they didn't put their trust in that which had gone
mm-hmm.
away. So you're correct. That's a good thing we need to teach our kids.
And, you know, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Most financial counselors aren't going to tell you that. When things are going well, they're going to just say, you know, this is great. They're going to puff you up. Hey, you know, ride the excitement of this. Feel every elevation you can through these good things that are happening.
Right.
But it's really a setup.
It is a setup. And just remember what the devil wants to do. The devil wants us to love our wealth.
Mm.
Although the truth is, we don't own anything.
Right. God wants us to have it, and the devil wants us to love it.
Devil
and they're two different things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
God wants us to have things in order to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And spread the Great Commission, the gospel, bring others to Christ
mm-hmm.
for eternal good. People in heaven, having people come to heaven through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The devil wants us to say, oh, Reba, you know, Tom and you, whatever, the president, have money, be all wound up in all these, you know, material things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's your God. Now, he doesn't come out and say, that's your God. And most people would say, that's not my God. That's not my God, Tom. Talking to the wrong person, save it for someone who, you know, really is their God. But Satan doesn't just come out, Reba, and say, see, that title, that's your God.
Right.
No, but in our heart,
mm-hmm.
in our soul, what are we really thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people will check their investments and their money growth and their percentages and everything every single day.
Yeah.
How often do they check the Word of God?
Right, exactly.
Once a week, once a month.
I know.
They're like looking online at their accounts all day long. You know, who does that with the Bible?
Exactly, Reba. And the Lord knows what we think. Agree or disagree?
Mm-hmm. Agree.
The Lord knows what's important to us. Agree?
Agree.
The Lord knows where our heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
He's omniscient. He's ever-present.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the motive. He knows the soul. We can't fake him out.
Mm-mm.
So he knows. Even if I say to you, Reba, and you think, let's say we're having lunch or something, you know, you think, oh, no, money's not his God. Only God knows if money is all of our God,
mm-hmm.
our gods, because mm-hmm. God is the only one that knows the soul.
And our culture is going counter to this.
Totally, Reba.
It's so opposite.
Totally.
It's like, you know, you may hear this or you may think you know this, but the culture is going to try to beat this principle out of you 100 times a day.
I know.
You really need to meditate in this more often. You know, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, wow, that makes sense. Well, you can't just hear this message once and then think that your whole life's going to change. It's a learned process.
It is. And that's why this section in the book and other, that other book I'd mentioned in previous shows, Contentment, The Jewel of Christianity by Jeremiah Burroughs is such a good book. This is a major learning thing, mm-hmm. believe me. And I don't hear it taught in our churches. Mm-hmm. I don't recall if I've ever heard in my whole career as a Christian, my whole life as a Christian, 29 years I've been a Christian now. I don't think I've ever heard contentment taught from the pulpit ever.
Wow.
Ever. In 29 years at all the churches I've been to.
Yeah, I haven't heard it either.
This is a very key issue, Reba.
Yeah.
It's the root of so much financial mistake mm-hmm. and divorce and relationship killers. I'm telling people this is a key thing to your walk with God.
Contentment used to be something that people really esteemed. I mean, and you look just in America, the people who really seem to be the most contented or would be like the Amish or
right.
the Dutch, you know,
mm-hmm.
not that they're, you know, not that their way of life is the best way or whatever, but just that they don't seem to be out there chasing all the new things and needing new styles and fashions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably been since then that contentment has been taught.
Right. And the basics is how they live.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah. They live with simplicity and basics.
Yeah. Which we could use a little bit of that in our lives.
Well, you just got back from Ethiopia.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
If people didn't hear the show last week, they need to go to the computer. What's our website?
TheEconomyofGod.com.
TheEconomyofGod.com.
The podcast. Download the previous shows.
Yes, the string bean.
The string.
Go to our website, TheEconomyofGod.com, and listen to last week's show where you talked about Ethiopia and how they are just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Just surviving
mm-hmm.
on the even less than the most simple thing imaginable.
Yeah.
By the way, if you go to TheEconomyofGod.com, send me an email. Let us know what you think about the program. Sign up for the free newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe grab the book. And let's delve into this thing. Because our churches, in my opinion, have ignored this subject of contentment, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Editorial view. You know? I think that we as believers need to really learn this part of God's economy, Reba. Anchor number four. Okay?
We do. We certainly do. And that's why we've spent 12 weeks talking about contentment. And you can download all of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we need to learn. Like you said, we need to be teaching it to our children.
Yes.
And we definitely need to be applying it in the area of our finances. It doesn't mean that that you should be content with having nothing.
Right.
It means you should be content with what you have.
And that the Lord is the provider.
Uh-huh.
And that we're not going to find our value, our worth in our stock portfolio mm-hmm. or any other kind of asset.
Because you're a financial planner. You grow people's assets.
Yes.
You reduce their tax liability. You help them invest for special situations.
Budgeting.
So budgeting. So you're not talking about reducing people and making them content.
No.
You're talking about being content as we increase and or decrease whatever is in the plan or in the future for us.
Right.
Learning how to be content as we walk through that.
Right, Reba, because nothing is going to knock us off our level stance with Jesus.
And sometimes
okay? Nothing.
Sometimes it's having too much. It's when we have a lot, like the previous show, that we really are at our least content.
Exactly, Reba. I know people that are rich that are discontent and those that are poor that are content. It's amazing. Now, Reba, do all of us a great favor and read the Prayer of Change and pray the Prayer of Change for us. Page 182 of the book.
Okay. Well,
that will be our Prayer of Change.
We'll close the show. Father God, teach me what is meant to be content. Lord, help me not to covet money, fame, or anything else that would cause you to become second or third in my life. I want to take the time right now to confess and repent of my sin and discontentment.
Mm.
I recognize that you have blessed me, and I want to be truly happy where I am.
Mm.
So search my heart, Lord. Help me to rid my soul of all the aimless pursuits I try so deeply to hold on to. Teach me how to keep my financial and life goals intact without letting them rule my life. Give me wisdom to know and discern contentment. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, help me minister to others to be content in you alone. I praise you for this blessing with peace and joy. I praise you in Jesus' name for blessing me with so much. You truly are a God of wonders. Continue to work a miracle in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.